Ace Podcast.
9. We have ignition sequence start. Engines on. 5, 4, 3.
Hello, you.
Well, hello.
I wasn't talking to you.
Well, hello to you.
Hello to you,
listener.
And hello to you, listener. Not
I wasn't talking to you.
I wasn't talking to you.
I wasn't talking,
to you. No,
I was talking to our listener.
No.
Welcome, listener, to two middle-aged dudes and a microphone. My name is Aaron,
and my name is Craig.
And this is episode 69 officially, but I think it's really like 75 because we had all the bonus episodes, you know, in the past and everything. So we're creeping up on 100.
don't jump ahead or anything.
Very quickly. I'm just excited.
You know, 25. No, we got 31 to go.
Yep. Well,
31. Yeah, that's 100.
Yeah.
Okay,
we'll make
it. Rounding up now. Okay.
But I think change is going to happen big time, but way before we hit 100.
I keep hearing about that,
and I feel it. You know, we smelled it last time. Now
I smell
it kind
something.
Of feels different.
I smell something coming from that side of the
feels
room.
Feels different.
Yeah.
Feels good. Seems, I like it.
Yeah. Very, very. Feels odd.
Yeah. It does feel weird.
Yeah. Kind of weird.
Kind of weird. Hey, we got another, you know what we got? We got another review.
We got another made-up review?
No, this is a real review from Korch.
Wait,
One.
I said that like now people are going to think we make up reviews.
I don't make up reviews.
I don't make up anything. I can't make up my mind. Why would I make up a review?
5 stars from Korch One. These fellas have a great report. Or rapport.
Report?
Yeah, we wrote a great report.
We wrote a great report. Is this your teacher? This is your English teacher.
These fellas have a great rapport. They find the funny in every topic and genuinely enjoy the trip.
We be tripping.
do your funny bone a favor and check it out.
Yep.
Thank you, Korch One. We really appreciate that. And I also before we
Korch
get started.
Korch One.
Before we get started, because we got a huge stack of stories here.
We got
man.
So much here that actually we had to reinforce the table.
Oh, applesauce. Stop it.
Applesauce.
Yeah, applesauce. But I want to shout out to Grim Horror on Twitter.
Did I miss something?
No, you didn't miss anything.
Right. Sorry,
man.
I haven't been into the giggle water today.
Yeah. Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, there's a friend of mine, a friend of ours on Twitter, and he goes by...
I guess I should know my onions.
He goes by Grim Horror.
Yeah.
And
that guy.
He has been so kind to us as a show, retweets all of our shows, says great things about us, so I wanted to just thank him personally. So thank you, Grim Horror.
I hear he's quite the Oliver Twist.
Yeah, well... That's banana oil, but we'll get to that later.
Whatever.
You got top story tonight, by the way?
Yeah.
Top story.
A maker of smart garage door openers responded to a bad Amazon review by remotely disabling the customer's device.
this guy put a bad review on Amazon. The guy said, all right, mister, how bad is this?
Yeah, you think it could get worse?
Yeah.
There's a new dystopian risk to using internet-connected gadgets. If you complain, the company that made it might remotely kill your product.
Okay, this sounds like something new, but it's not. I don't know if I ever told you this or not, but my brother and I used to have a photo lab. And,
I know, hear it frequently.
We bought a brand new processor.
I can't wait to see what develops with this story.
We bought a brand new processor, and the guy setting it up said, you know, you guys, if you don't pay your bill, they'll drive by with a remote control and shut this thing down.
Is that true?
Well, I said, I didn't think so. You know, I said, what are you, some
that
kind
would
of-
be Darb.
I said, what are you, some kind of blue nose? You know?
Okay. Anyway.
But that was with a remote control, and they would actually have to drive.
Whatever, dumb Dora.
That was in the 90s. Now they could do it all over the airwave, so to speak.
On a toot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I hope not.
There's a new dystopian risk, as I mentioned before, and they're going to kill off your product. This is what happened to one customer who bought Garage-It.
Yeah, kind of like
Garage-It.
Yeah.
It's like a gadget, but it's a Garage-It.
It's a garage that looks like a gadget.
Or something from up north, Garage-It. An internet-connected garage door opener. It lets you remotely lock or unlock your garage with an app. I've got a thing in my car that lets me remotely open and close it. That's the same difference.
Yeah, but you can't do it from your office.
Well, that's why would I want to? I'm not there.
Well, maybe you'd want to.
Oh, if I want to let the robbers in.
Or the I don't know, something.
You got nothing.
Nothing.
Anyway, but after they complained about it online and left a negative review, he got an unpleasant surprise. Garage-It had bricked their device. Okay, this sounds like illegal?
It kind of does.
The customer had left a comment on the support forum complaining about technical issues, wondering what kind of piece of crap I just purchased here. If this is Amazon, I'll probably find it in the $5 bin.
Yeah, I bet you will.
I might find it in the $5 bin. They then followed up with a negative Amazon review saying, junk. Uppercase, do not waste your money.
I hate reviews
iPhone
like
app
that.
Is a piece of junk. Crashes constantly. Startup company that obviously has not performed proper quality assurance tests on their products. Well, Garagit did not like that one bit.
Neither would I.
But real quick.
Yeah.
I have been this person. You expect when you buy something, you have reasonable expectations that it's going to work and you're going to get support.
So, absolutely.
So I'm gonna hold out judgment here because this person may have tried to get support from them. And you and I know, as we've mentioned, the $5 place a minute ago, which is where you and I go a lot to get stuff returned from Amazon and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like a clearance place we get to. We get some cool stuff.
Absolutely.
You find out a lot of that stuff, why it was returned.
True.
Because there's some absolute junk out there.
Yeah, you're gambling.
And if I see a Garagit out there, I'm not getting it. Anyway, they didn't like it. So the point being that this guy might have been giving he was just mad. He was upset.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't
You know what
working.
He's doing? He was blowing off steam.
He's blowing off steam.
Yeah.
The company disabled the disgruntled customer's device by denying it access to its servers and announced it had done as such on its forum.
That's when Martin said, bourgeois.
Yeah.
And he didn't like it either.
He jumped in his hay burner and took off to take care of some problems.
They said, look, Jake. But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway.
Yeah. He got an icy mitt from him, though.
We got a big lexicon all of a sudden.
He did get an icy mitt from him.
Can I complete this now?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Anyway, they didn't like it. Right. So this is what they came back with, which this says a lot about their company. I don't think I'd want to be doing business with Garagit.
Well, I don't know. It's kind of funny to me.
It's funny, but they shouldn't do this.
But listen to their reasoning here.
Okay. Martin. This is their letter to him.
Yeah.
Their note to him. Martin. The abusive language here and in your negative Amazon review submitted minutes after experiencing a technical difficulty only demonstrates your poor impulse control. I'm happy to provide the technical support to the customers on my Saturday night, but I'm not going to tolerate any tantrums. At this time, your only option is to return Garagit to Amazon for a refund. Your unit ID 2F0036 will be denied server connection.
So they pretty much told him just to go chase yourself.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Garagit defended itself in a subsequent post, saying it took action to distance from the toxic individual. Well, guess what, Garagit? Welcome to the business world where you make products and not everybody likes it. You think we walk around all day expecting everybody likes our podcast?
It's got to be a one-man show. This guy had just launched, and he was stressed to the max. He blew.
So basically, what we're going to do is we're going to try an experiment here. Anybody that complains about our podcast, we're going to remotely shut down your iPod.
Well, maybe Martin didn't know his
Honestly,
onions.
that would be a mercy killer.
I mean, Martin may not have known his onions, you know?
That's the thing.
You never know with this type of deal.
So, he could be a dewdropper. I don't know.
He could be. It wasn't a whole lot of Mazuma, though.
No, not really.
So
anyway, they defended themselves. That's Garagit. Defending themselves in a subsequent post saying it took action to distance from the toxic individual. Okay, calm down, everybody.
Yeah.
Save your pitchforks and torches for your elected representatives.
This is what they put out after news of their rebuttal
this
came out.
This only lacks the death threats now. The firing of the customer was never about the Amazon review, just wanted to distance from the toxic individual ASAP. Admittedly, not the slickest PR move on my part. Access restored, note taken.
Access restored, so he let him in.
Okay, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Tell me.
SpongeBob.
Do say.
He bought this product. He never should have been subjected to that. He's the customer.
Yeah, that's true.
And they had a product that did not perform it. Now, granted,
yes,
I'm going to say,
go ahead.
There's no reason for him to
fly off the handle.
He was flying. He was doing that from the protection of his keyboard behind his keyboard.
True.
He should have called
anybody.
He should have called the company
if
they were accessible and said, "What's going on here?"
Everybody's 12 feet tall behind a keyboard. You notice that? Pretty much,
except you.
Yeah, except me. Headline is, fraudulent monks arrested for making women pay for prayers.
You can charge for that?
They did. Police arrested three men who persuaded women to pay thousands of yuan for a ritual.
We take MasterCard and Visa.
We're going to pray for you. Please pay here. In January this year,
we've got the square reader now.
Just swipe your card. We do take credit or cash. The 60-year-old woman, surnamed G, walked into a store that sells joss sticks and candles. How are you doing? All right on your joss sticks?
I've got some joss sticks, but I'm kind of low on my candles.
Near the UFO temple.
I've been on a toot lately, so I don't really.
Inside the store was a man dressed as a monk and chanting near a Buddhist statue.
Did he have a Gasper?
I need a sandwich. Somebody please let me pray for you. Ding.
This life is miserable.
Ding. The owner of the
shop. So anyway, the tomato walks in.
Yeah. Ding. The owner of the shop told G to give her name, birthday, mobile phone number so the monks can pray for her.
And some noodle juice.
Why'd he want her number? He's like, yeah, I'll pray for you, but I need those digits.
Yep, need those digits. I'm going to swipe it through the square reader.
Anyway, other men dressed as monks entered the store. It was like a, you know what it was? It was like a barbershop quartet of monks.
Oh, that's the worst.
And they prayed for her for half an hour. When she was about to go, Ding told her.
She probably displayed some icy mitts.
Ding told her the ritual cost 9,300 yuan.
What?
But she only had 200 yuan. So,
So
G told the police that Ding and the man scared her and told her that she will have bad luck if she didn't pay.
How scary can monks be?
Yeah, we're going to pray bad things.
If you don't copy this to 1,000 of your friends, you will not live much longer.
We're going to pray that your car runs out of gas going downhill without brakes. Hey, did you hear about this next story?
Girl found living with monkeys in forest in India.
This is a true story. There's a lot of video of this out
there.
It's a true
story. We talk about
it. Cover true story.
Lucknow, India.
What if there was a casino in Lucknow?
Probably
they'd go broke.
Probably wouldn't.
Yeah,
probably wouldn't work the way you think it does.
You don't think?
Anyway, Indian police are trying to identify a girl found living in a forest with a group of monkeys.
Indian police? How?
Yeah.
Pull over. How?
Sir, that is racist.
Oh, my bad.
Stop.
What? No, it's not racist.
You need to stop them now.
What's the other word? It's not racist. It's stereotypist. And stereotypes are funny.
You're a stereotypist? How fast do you stereotype?
I can stereotype 20 insults a minute.
Anyway, you will need to stop them now. Okay. Indian police are trying to identify the girl found living in a forest with a group of monkeys. The girl who was found in January in the Kettering and Akawaka Wildlife Sanctuary. That may not be the exact pronunciation.
Probably not.
In Uttar Pradesh.
Uttar Pradesh.
Could not speak or understand language, according to the. Well, she could explain. She could do.
That's what she did.
She could peel bananas, according to the Times of India.
Stop right here. How do you peel your bananas? The stem at the top.
I have gotten to where I flip it upside down. You said abscess. Abscess.
That's exactly how you're supposed to peel a banana.
I saw it on the internet, and it was on the internet, so I knew it was true.
You peel them upside down; it's much easier.
It is easier.
You know why?
Because those stems are hard to break. Sometimes
I've got the explanation too. Because when bananas grow on a tree, they grow upside down.
Right.
So the stems are pointing up, and the bigger the bananas get, the heavier and thicker those stems get to support it. So you open it from the bottom, which is actually the top, as you and I know.
Uh huh. Right.
And I'm not trying to be a Weisenheimer or anything like that, but. That's just how you eat a banana. Go ahead with your monkey.
You're about to get streeted.
I've already been streeted today once. Go ahead.
Can I go back to the banana story?
Yes, yeah. The monkey story. Is Davy Jones in here anywhere?
I don't know. The monkeys. Yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
May I continue?
Go ahead.
Woodcutters initially spotted her moving through the forest with a group of monkeys, police told the Associated Press. They said the girl was naked and was very comfortable in the company of the monkeys. Police Officer Dinesh Tripathi said, when they tried to rescue the girl, they were chased away by the monkeys. That is a respectful attempt at an Indian accent.
That was good.
Nobody better come at me like a monkey and say that I was trying to be somehow.
I'll be on you like a spider monkey, old man. I wonder if it was, I wonder which monkey it was. Was it Nesmith, you think? Mike Nesmith?
No, because he stays out of the limelight.
Yeah.
And Davey's gone. So it probably would be Peter, because
Peter can run. He's skinny.
He is.
Yeah.
An officer eventually managed to rescue the child by speeding away. What?
Yeah.
By speeding away from the monkeys in a Jeep as they gave chase, Tripathi said. The girl, who was believed to be 8 years old and appeared emaciated when police found her, was taken to a local hospital. Since treatment began 2 months ago, her condition has improved, according to the Daily Mail. She thinks she's doing okay on her own.
Yeah, she was doing all right with monkeys. Yeah. She's probably better off than everybody else.
Yeah. When she was admitted, officials said she ran using her arms and legs like an animal. Well, I could say that about you. And ate directly off the floor with her mouth. Again, I could say that about you.
And don't make her mad because she'll throw something at you.
Yo. She is still not able to speak, but understands whatever you tell her and even smiles, said DK Singh, chief medical superintendent of the hospital. She now is now reportedly walking normally and eating with her hands. I'm sure she was eating with her hands before.
Yeah, but it was weird. She would really walk on all fours, and they would try to get her to like do things right, and she wouldn't cooperate.
Let her live. Let her have her life as a monkey.
Put her out in public as a monkey girl.
Just let her be. Here's the thing. Did they ask her if she wanted to come back and be a human?
She didn't like the food they were giving her. I'll tell you that.
No, the monkeys probably treated her better, too.
Probably.
Anyway, police are searching through missing persons cases in an attempt to find out who she is.
You know what? This is the first time it has rained since we've been recording Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone.
It's a tsunami.
Listen to that rain. I bet the listeners can't. The listener cannot hear that, I bet.
Well, we can hear it. I can hear it through our headsets. They can hear if you'd maybe quit talking.
Hey, I got a political story.
What?
Yeah, this headline is...
You got a politics! This says at the top.
Headline is, this tiny Midwest town has just one election per year for the village idiot.
Well, you should go run
for that.
I was
about to tell you, man, you could actually run away with it, probably.
Guess what? I said it first.
On the day that qualified Brad Cox as an idiot in a town with a tradition of celebrating them, he quickly changed the oil in his wife's cherry red 2007 Pontiac Vibe like he had done some 60 times before and watched her drive away to work. Within miles,
the
car was spitting thick black smoke and bucking like a horse on the back road in a hilly southern Indiana town.
Wait. Are we supposed to believe there are hills in Indiana?
His manliness at stake, Cox began inspecting. I'm no mechanic by any means, Cox said, but I can change my own darn oil. Without an obvious diagnosis, the 47-year-old did what any logical husband would do. He blamed his wife, Stephanie.
Don't blame Stephanie.
Who had taken a route to work that traversed a creek and, in Cox's mind, clearly cracked the engine.
Wait.
I'll tell you what my wife did. She drove that thing through that ice line over there.
He thinks that she cracked the engine.
In cold water. That's what he thinks. Well, he's the village idiot.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, well, that's true. I shouldn't question it.
It was the town mechanic a day later who broke the idiot-worthy news. Instead of draining the motor oil, Cox had accidentally emptied the transmission fluid and, as a result, poured the fresh motor oil on top of the old motor oil and sent his wife off to work with a bone-dry transmission.
So the transmission has zero lubrication.
Zero. It was done.
And the oil pressure was reaching an all-time high from too much oil.
The gasket had blown, and it, of course, it was Cox's fault. So Stephanie did what any logical wife would
do. She divorced him?
She reveled and then nominated.
She reveled?
She reveled? She reveled. And then nominated him.
Did she take a 10-cent box?
She did. She had to because she didn't have a car. Last week, Cox won, becoming the 19th person to hold the title in a tiny unincorporated town called Story, Indiana, located deep in the foothills of Brown County, just 1 hour south of Indianapolis. It was funded in 1851 by George Story, who was granted the land by President Millard Fillmore. So there you go, Craig. Maybe you ought to move to Indiana.
Brad is such a werp.
He is a werp, isn't he? Hey, Craig, did you ever see that movie called The Blob?
I saw the remake.
No, the original one. The original one's campy and fun and black and white.
The second one
was
not campy, fun, or in black and white.
So it's a loser.
It's the opposite of the first
one.
Was
it good?
It was entertaining because of the 80s style practical effects.
Okay.
No digital stuff. So it was, I mean, for the most part.
Well, the only reason I bring that up is because of this next story.
About a gooey nightmare?
Yes.
Gooey nightmare takes over Butte waste water treatment plant.
Yep.
Like something out of a Hollywood movie, a gooey nightmare grew out of the Butte's wastewater treatment plant Thursday, causing the county to send 550,000 gallons of partially treated wastewater into Silver Bow Creek.
Yeah, but they had to change the name after that to Brown Bow Creek.
Pretty much. The plant on Centennial Avenue experienced a bloom of bad bacteria within... Is there good bacteria?
Yeah, there's good bacteria.
Not coming out of that place, there's
not.
No,
there's not.
Within the plant around noon Thursday, it looked like something from The Blob. The Blob.
The Blob.
Said treatment plant operator Matt Moore. Hey, listen, Matt Moore, how about you not make light of this problem?
Really, this is serious.
Why don't you make references to movies and why don't you clean up the crap?
Yeah, it's a brown sponge-like material, man.
That's gross.
That is gross.
The
so
Blob.
You know what? It makes me want to pull a Daniel Boone, to be honest with you. Go ahead.
Anyway, so... The Blob
is
a 1988 horror film. No, it's not. It's an earlier film, but this is the remake.
Much like.
In which a strange life form grows and consumes everything in its path.
And people scream and run.
According to Hollywood.com. We have to ask them, like, we don't know what the movie is.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, it's like lava. The Blob's not going to sneak up on you. It's not moving
fast.
No,
but it comes through any crack or opening, and it comes after you.
Yeah, but the so does lava.
So does this stuff.
Yeah. But I'm saying, if you get eat up by lava, you deserve it.
Okay.
Because it's not like a tsunami. It's
lava,
not,
you should be able to, if you've ever played hot lava as a kid,
yes.
You should be able to jump couch to
sure
couch.
You could.
As long as in the real world, there's couches everywhere you can jump from.
I'm saying, though, you hear days in advance, lava's coming.
Yeah. It's on the way.
Yeah. And people stay, and they get consumed.
Well, people say that about a lot of, you know, hey, there's a flood coming. Oh, hang out. There's a tornado coming.
No, but if it's a flash flood, you're done. And if it's a tornado, you don't know. But you could see lava coming down the hill.
You would see the lava.
Yeah. You got plenty of time to get out. You need to, you know, you got to scatter. When there's lava coming, scatter. That's what I say. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
I'm just wondering if there's any chance I'm going to finish this story.
Go ahead.
The brown sponge-like material, which looks like froth on a root beer.
Oh, that's gross.
Is a normal part of the system that treats the county's wastewater before it enters silver/brown Bow Creek.
I am
going to said. It is a type of bacteria that the wastewater interacts with inside a vat. What, they brew beer?
Yeah, well, no, they're brewing something else.
Ew. No, it was brewed when it got there.
They said it was root beer.
It was brewed when it got there. But on Thursday, the bacteria grew out of the vat, engulfed the plant's entire floor, growing a couple of inches tall, and began oozing out of the building. This sounds like a horror movie.
It does. It sounds disgusting.
It rolled out the doors, said Moore. We had to open the garage doors to make room for it. It grew very quickly.
I said, open that door.
The incident prompted the county to partially shut down its treatment operations for about 6 hours. The county was able to send untreated wastewater into a storage tank and allowed a reservoir within the plant to fill to capacity with sewage in order to help keep some of it from going into the creek. Or the crick, as they might say.
I've heard of up Craps Creek, but that gives a whole new meaning to it right there.
You're a dumb Dora. Let me stack my paper.
Hey, guess what we got?
Stacking paper.
It seems like every episode lately we have had a Dash and Dine, right?
We do have a few of those.
Okay. A headline is, Australian rapper skips dinner bill by swimming off.
What?
Yes.
Was he eating in a pool?
Get his name. Australian rapper called Tupac.
Ah, 2PEC. Tupac.
Racked up a large bill in a seafood restaurant before running into the sea to avoid pain.
This would only be perfect. It's Queensland, so it'd only be perfect if a giant great white ate him when he jumped in the water. Smelled like seafood.
Yes. Police set off in a hot pursuit on jet skis for the man, who later claimed he ran to help a friend give birth on the beach. His bill was over $600, which comes to about $450 American dollars. Those Aussies, they got to do everything better than us, you know it?
Oh, my gosh. Did this happen around 0030 by chance?
It did. Terry Peck, who has charged with theft and assault, later said the lobsters were overcooked. That made him jump into the ocean and swim away.
To go help somebody have a baby.
A 33-year-old appeared in court on Monday morning after the incident at Omero's Brothers Restaurant in Surfer's Paradise on the East Coast.
Maybe he was from Atlantis.
I don't know. He allegedly consumed, listen to how much he ate, 2 lobsters, a baby octopus, 21 vodka oyster shots, and a number of Coronas.
He was drunk.
How could he even swim?
He was ossified.
Oh, my. By himself, said Magistrate Joan White when she granted bail, according to ABC News.
He said, let's blouse.
A representative from the restaurant, Mark Honeybun.
Oh, that's a lie.
That's what his name is.
My name was Honeybun, but I mean, he's a really sweet guy.
Rejected the criticism of the standard of cooking, telling the network, we pride ourselves on cooking our lobsters perfectly. I don't know why he has that weird accent. He's being from Australia.
Sounds like somebody's butler.
Australian media have uncovered some of Mr. Peck's self-produced music, including one track entitled Ozzy, 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 Oi, Oi, Oi.
My favorite. Ozzy, 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 Oi, Oi, Oi. Ozzy, 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 Oi, Oi, Oi. Ozzy, Ozzy, Ozzy,
Oi, Oi, Oi. No wonder he had to swim away. Nobody's buying this stuff. Yeah, yeah, so it's good time. That's the worst I've ever heard. Then you get to rest. Shove the text and honey's as good as it gets. All around the place for... Yeah, you'll notice I had to do some heavy editing. So Australia is far from the only country where restaurants face the risk of non-payers. Last month,
can you just drop that down?
Oh, I'll go ahead. Yeah,
honestly, he's just too much.
You're not up on Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi,
oi.
Spanish police arrested the alleged ringleader of a gang that carried out a series of eat-and-run raids in the country's north. The group When we covered this here on Two Middle-Aged Dudes.
Yeah, we did.
The group, which comprised over 100 people, consumed about 2,000 euros of food and drink and claimed they were celebrating a baptism. They fled before dessert was served.
Which was the crime right there.
That is.
Why would you leave before dessert?
Dessert.
I don't know. Oi, oi, oi.
Aussie. And you know what? That's a cheer. That's what they like cheer in their stadiums for the soccer ball.
We would cheer. Oh, 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 30-30-30. Oh, 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 30-30-30.
That don't make no sense.
You think they're probably just sick and tired of the 30 thing?
Well, they
you
should change
say
it.
You and I say, yeah, right. That's what I say to them. Then change it,
yes.
Okay? South Dakota man gets $190 fine for snake without leash.
Snake.
Isn't the snake his own leash?
Yes.
Kinda.
You can swing that thing by the tail.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota. A man who was fined for allowing his pet snake to slither freely in a South Dakota park said an animal control officer suggested he use a leash to restrain the reptile.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Jerry Kimball said.
You ever tried to leash a snake? That can't be easy.
I usually buy them outright. Jerry Kimball said he initially thought the recommendation was a joke because it was April Fool's Day when he was fined $190 and ticketed last week for animals running at large.
Mm-hmm.
He was literally asking me to put a rope around my snake, Kimball said. I was like, dude, no. I was dumbfounded.
You can't leash a snake.
No.
That's ridiculous.
Kimball was approached by the officer after a woman complained that his fire bee ball python roaming free. Was probably stinging people.
It's a python, for Pete's sake.
It's
what's
a
he
fire
doing
bee
with?
Ball python. It can fly and it stings
they
people.
They should have arrested him for being an idiot.
Why? Because it's a fire bee ball
yes,
python?
Yes, nobody owns pythons. That's ridiculous. They're not to be owned.
A lot of people
because
own
they can get out.
A lot of people own
and
them.
And then they put a lot of people in danger. Remember what happened in Florida?
I got a kid that's obsessed with ball pythons.
Oh.
Anyway. Can I go back to the story now?
Go ahead.
I had a groove going.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Animal control supervisor Julie DeJong said a city ordinance requires all pets to be leashed or restrained in public. She said pet snakes can be held or kept in a container to comply.
Pet snakes. That's ridiculous.
If it's in public and it's not on a leash, it is at large.
It's at large.
The ordinance doesn't really distinguish between animals, she said.
DeJong added that snake lovers should be more sensitive to the aversion many people feel
yes,
toward the animal.
Amen.
While non-venomous snakes are legal to own, not all park visitors will welcome a python
no,
in a park.
No!
But Kimball said he considers it his mission to rid the public's fear of snakes.
No, it's not, Mr. Well, Kimball.
That's my purpose in life, to let people know that snakes aren't killers, he said. What a better way to give back than to help people understand these misunderstood creatures.
Okay, you know what? I like licorice. Most people don't. What if I run everybody?
That's disgusting.
What if everybody I met, I threw a piece of licorice in their mouth and said, I'm here to teach you to like licorice. That's the same thing. I don't want a snake near me. I don't want any snakes near me.
So you're suggesting this man should change his method. He should throw the snake in people's mouths.
Yes.
That might work.
That might do it.
That might actually work.
Okay, headline is, manure happens. German dad and daughter doused with poo.
Poo.
This is from Berlin. One can only imagine the...
Who?
Lynn.
I thought it was one of our listeners. Go ahead.
One can only imagine the expletives uttered by a Bavarian driver and his teenage daughter after a farmer accidentally filled their convertible with a trailer full of manure.
Mm.
German police say that the incident happened Saturday near the town of Altomünster, about 30 kilometers
or
19 miles northwest of Munich.
Munich.
The 52-year-old father, he's about your age, and his 14-year-old daughter were parked.
That's funny, since you're 12 years older than me.
Parked by the roadside when a tractor. So they were parked in a car in their convertible.
This is a scene from Back to the Future.
When the tractor pulling a trailer of liquid manure,
but it was liquid manure,
swung in their direction. The maneuver sent the entire load pouring into the Renault convertible, covering the occupants from head to toe with poo.
No, with slurry.
Now, that really does make me want to pull a Daniel Boone, just thinking about it. In a statement Monday, police said the car is likely a write-off. You think? What are you going to do with it? Clean it? On the upside, they noted, nobody was injured. That's what he thinks. They'll never forget that.
Was he spliflicated?
He was.
The driver, I mean.
Maybe the driver of the truck was, but I don't know about
the
other
guy. I'd have the screaming memes after that.
In Florida, I went.
A man was designed.
How was he designed? Hold on.
In Florida, I went berserk.
A man was denied $100,000 jackpot because friend pushed the button.
Now, this is funny to me. When I first read this headline, I thought that the casino was trying to get out of the payment.
Well, let me find out.
They weren't.
Do you want to catch up? Do you just want to tell everybody the story before?
No,
I read
but
it?
I thought that was funny. And then I read the story, and it's even funnier. So go ahead. I'm
sorry. You're literally a warp.
I try not to.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida. What?
I try not to warp you.
Okay. John Flatto.
Yeah.
Says when he allowed his friend to hit the button on the slot machine for luck, he had no idea that move would cost him $100,000.
That's expensive.
Flatto says he was with his friend Marina Navarro and was playing the video poker machine at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino when he hit it big.
No, he didn't.
Lights flashed and the pay line showed that he had won the $100,000 jackpot. When it was time to collect the winnings, he received some bad news.
Yeah.
Your aunt died.
That's not what he got.
Oh, sorry. Once managers of the casino analyzed the video, that it showed that Navarro pushed the button, which made her the rightful winner of the jackpot.
He was flirting with his girl. He said, hey, baby, why don't you give me some luck and hit this button
right,
for me?
She hit the actual button.
And then she hit the jackpot.
Seminole spokesperson Gary Bittner couldn't say much, but he did reiterate the rule when it comes to gambling. The person who pushes the slot machine button or pulls the arm is the person who wins the jackpot. Why not the person who paid for it?
Because they're not the one playing the game. But why couldn't he say much? Do you have a speech impediment or something, you think?
No. You really wanted that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Flatto says Navarro took the money.
I had to hang a Yui to get it.
Weeks later, she allegedly sent Flatto a text message asking, still hate me? Well, yeah, because you're a bad person.
She won it fair and square.
No.
I'll tell you one thing. She ain't getting no manacle. You know what? Those days are over.
She better be a hotsy-totsy is all I'm saying.
She won the Mizuma, so she gets.
Anyway,
she gets
he responded, "How could you do that to me?" And her response, "I miss you."
He said, "I'll come back for 100,000."
What kind of an individual? Now, this is just the difference between me and you and other people.
Sure,
the differences between the way we feel about things. I mean, it would be nice if Flatto, who was Flatto broke,
you talking about Jan? You're right.
It would be nice if he maybe offered somebody like, hey, let's go out in the town.
Yeah.
Here's $1,000. Here's something. Let's go shopping. Thanks. You're my good, you know, something. You hit the button. I mean, maybe not even that. Maybe he didn't. When you say to somebody, you know, they have, you know, they always have you see the guys rolling the dice and the women blow on it for good luck. That kind of stuff.
Right.
It's like, you don't think, okay, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to have to give this person, you know, much money. But if, I guess my point is that if I'm the one who hits the button for you.
Yes.
For good luck. I'm not going to feel right walking off with $100,000 of yours. Even if they give it to me and say, hey, $100,000, woo, look at me, I got $100,000. I'm going to be like, that just doesn't process. I just don't know. Anyway, she's like, I miss you. Navarro said Flatto became distressed when they found out the jackpot wasn't his.
Sure.
Jan all of a sudden went ballistic, she said. He started screaming in front of everybody. You think so?
Yeah.
Navarro said Flatto sent her threatening text messages. One message read, having me as an enemy, not good.
Not good.
Followed by, we'll see who made the big mistake. It won't be me. Navarro said she offered Flatto some of the winnings, but after the text he sent, she
said,
rescinded
nope.
the offer. Now, here's the thing, too. Flatto might have been, it was the heat of the moment kind of thing. He was upset.
Sure.
He just lost on his own dime, mind you, and I sure probably wasn't a dime.
No, it was probably a dollar.
Yeah. $20.
Nah, his jackpot was $100,000. It's probably a dollar.
I don't think so.
Well, maybe.
I knew a guy who would walk through the casino. I was at an event one time in Vegas. Every morning he'd go by and drop $20 coin in a machine and just keep moving because he didn't expect he was going to win.
Yeah.
Dropped it in, won like $100,000.
Nice.
So it's got to be a pretty good amount of money you're putting down.
So this is what happened. Jan, who was probably zazzled, you know, for all we know.
Right,
and flirting with Marina.
She's not a Mrs. Grundy.
No, she's not a Mrs. Grundy. But he said, okay, hey, hit the button. She hits, she wins.
Now you're on the trolley.
You're right. And if you and I had been there, I'd have hit your button, I'd have said,
You punch my
first of all,
the
IRS would be right behind us saying, we're taking our 50 away. No, nothing about that. I'd have said, well, Craig, here's your 50. I'd have just
or
given
25
it.
If that's how I looked over.
It was your money.
Yeah, I'd say half of it.
Maybe. Yeah.
Well,
and then you, being a kind guy, would say, well, at least take half. And I'd say, okay, if you
don't
insist.
Ever call me that again. But my thing is, I would have probably, I could see someone going, okay, you just hit the button for me, you know, do something nice for him maybe.
Yeah.
But you didn't do anything. It was my money.
That's right.
Really, you invested the money.
Yeah, he made a mistake. I bet that never happens again.
Let's just go back to Florida.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Florida man blames his arrest on faulty, headline is,
yeah, Florida. You got to look for me, didn't you?
Florida man blames his arrest on faulty legal advice, Craig. You know where he got it? Wikipedia.
Well, it's
got
to be right.
It's on the internet.
They cannot. It's in the Constitution.
It is.
If Wikipedia, it's got to be accurate.
While en route to jail following his arrest for driving with a suspended license and no insurance, a Florida man declared, "That's the last time I listened to Wikipedia about driving."
Wait, I read Wikipedia.
Yeah.
He listens to it.
Yeah, he does.
He must have the audiobooks.
He does. It said I would just get a ticket. Justin Murray, age 22, was nabbed Friday evening after a cop spotted him running a stop sign in Port St. Lucie. Subsequent checks revealed that Murray's driver's license was suspended last year and his auto insurance had been canceled. So Murray began screaming at the patrolman, according to an arrest affidavit, and balled up his fist in an apparent attempt to intimidate the cop. Murray was subsequently arrested, and you do that. You know, if you take a swing at a cop or even ball up your fist, you're going to get.
I'm not a legal expert, but I'm going to say
you're no legal.
I'm going to say
yeah. Go ahead.
You don't throw swings at cops.
No, sir.
Don't throw fists. You don't throw hands, as the kids say.
No, and you don't spit into the wind either. And
no.
And he was placed in the rear of the police cruiser where he could be heard complaining about the faulty legal advice available on Wikipedia.
Does Wiki have like a law section now that I don't know about?
Beats me. I really don't ever go there.
Where, Florida?
No, Wikipedia.
In Florida, I went berserk.
Can I just say, how much goes on in Florida?
Too much.
Police pop pistol packing penny perpetrator.
What are you, a rapper now? What are you, Tupac?
Oi, oi, oi. Ozzy. Police pop pistol packing penny perpetrator. I just want to say that a bunch.
That's a good one.
Police pop pistol packing penny perpetrator.
One more time.
Police pop pistol packing penny perpetrator. March 30th.
Yeah.
Angered that a 7-Eleven clerk would not accept, quote unquote, a large amount of pennies.
Yep.
As payment for items, a woman trashed the Florida convenience store and with firearms in hand.
Whoa.
Her arms were on fire. Threatened to shoot the employee, cops report. Now, before all this broke out.
Yeah. The fire.
Since when is it legal to refuse to take payment of any kind if it's legal tender?
Well, I guess I don't
think
know.
It's an area that needs to be addressed.
Yeah,
because this happened once before with a guy trying to pay his fine at the police station or something.
Yeah,
or somewhere. We had a story
about that's right. He took like a 5-gallon bucket of change in there, poured
it. Money.
It's money.
Yeah,
it's legal tender.
It's,
you know, it's got the word legal in it.
Legal and yeah. Tender.
Right.
I don't know what tender. I don't wear that tender legal. The suspect entered a 7-Eleven in Melbourne around 1:30 a.m. yesterday and offered the dirty, grimy pennies. When a clerk said the amount was too much for the store to take in, the customer became enraged.
That's all I got, man, those pennies. I've been saving those pennies for my whole life.
No, it's like, and they were in like an old dirty sock. That was a heavy sock, wasn't it?
This is some kind of four flusher that just wanted their icy and wanted to go.
Right. The suspect, who was recorded by a surveillance camera, began throwing and pushing items off the counter and at the clerk.
Causing a big
while
scene.
Also threatening to kill the employee.
Oh, no.
Pennies became the least of his problems. After leaving the store, the woman, her problems rather.
Yeah.
After leaving the store, the woman returned with a pair of firearms.
Yep.
She was serious.
Pistol packing mama.
Oh, my gosh. No, she's a pistol packing penny perpetrator. Indicating she was going to shoot the clerk. The 7-Eleven worker suffered minor injuries during the confrontation, but did not require medical treatment. What? What minor injuries? Tell me.
She dropped a bag of pennies on her feet. And broke a toe.
I'm trying to make that penny noise when they hit the ground.
That's not it.
I know. I just don't know what else to do. The customer fled the scene in a white vehicle, possibly a Toyota Camry. Cops released photos of the suspect and her car in seeking the public's help in identifying the woman.
Distributing?
I got it. After distributing the images, it was just disturbing.
It is
when
disturbing.
I thought about it.
Those pennies. They're dirty.
All they wanted was to get back into the system.
Yes.
And they couldn't do it.
Nope.
Not through 7-Eleven. 7-Eleven said, no!
I see a Pixar movie happening
yeah.
before our eyes.
Ooh, write that down. After distributing the images, Orlando police reported that they had the suspect in custody on, well, they caught her like pockets dragging the ground full of pennies.
She couldn't run very fast.
No.
She had a pillowcase she was dragging.
Anyway, she was a 20-year-old, who I'm not going to try to pronounce her name, convicted felon, arrested Wednesday afternoon after allegedly pointing a gun at another woman during a street dispute. A search of a white Nissan Sentra being used by her and a female friend turned up a 38 caliber handgun, a BB gun. Why the BB gun? A hat cut to be a ski mask. That's from the Bazooka Joe line of hats. Yeah. And two pairs of gardening style gloves. An arrest affidavit makes no mention of a stash of pennies because they spend all the pennies on a 38 caliber handgun, BB gun, a hat cut to be a ski mask, two pairs of gardening style gloves. It's a change. It's a pistol packing penny perpetrator.
I'll tell you what, she was no cancel stamp, and I think she was a floor flusher.
Hey, you know what time it is? Oh, Flash Chackas, you will never let us down again, will you?
He won't.
Hey, yeah. Top 10 worst fast food chains in America.
Oh, I'm a big fan of fast food.
This is actually our top 10.
Yeah, we kind of voted on this between the two of us.
Because, you know, honestly, we looked out there at all the top 10s.
We did.
And we decided we could do just as good.
Yeah.
And we also said to ourselves in a smug sort of way, it's our podcast.
That's right.
So number 10 of the top 10 worst fast food chains in America.
Number 10, McDonald's. Or McDonald's, yeah.
McDonald's.
But the thing is,
you should have just called it McDonald's, and then it could have been a different place, and we couldn't have gone sued.
Number 10 is not a bad place to be for McDonald's, because on most of fast food worst lists, they're number one. I did a lot of research today.
That's true.
So I put them at number 10 because I actually enjoy them.
Number 9.
Yeah.
Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Although I like the tacos.
I don't. I've never had one, but I'm not going to put that thing.
I don't, but I'm not going to try it. I'm just going to.
I'm not going to put that thing in my body. Number 8. The Krusty Scab.
Yeah, that's not a good one.
No, I had a bad experience there one time.
Number 7.
Yeah.
Kentucky Raw Chicken.
Oh, yeah, they got sued a couple times. How are they still in business?
It's not because it's raw.
It's
because the place is filthy.
Number 6, the Harry Fork.
Gross. I tell you what, if you have their creme brulee, is like, it is so magnificent. I mean, kind of leaves something in aftertaste.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, number 5.
Yeah.
Jersey Jim.
Number 5, go ahead.
Number 5.
Yeah. Go ahead. Number 5. We only have 5 to go.
I'm just going to think of something else. Number 5.
Yeah.
Jersey Jim steamers.
Yeah, you get those subs steamed. But I don't know. I think he had a bad score. So number 4. Taco Bell.
You don't like Taco Bell.
I do not.
Although I heard LeBert told me you ate there the other day.
I did. Sunday, yes.
Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday.
Number 3.
Yeah.
Bieber Burger.
Oh, yuck. Yeah, they you know what? They were pretty good back in the 90s, but
no, they weren't
lately. Number 2, White Castle.
Ugh.
Yuck.
I'm a Crystal person if you're from
Absolutely.
Tennessee.
Crystal's.
Yeah. All right, brings us to number 1.
Number 1 worst fast food chain in America is
Nickelback.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Two Middle-Aged Dudes and a Microphone. If you enjoyed it, please spread the word. Visit our website at weirdnewspodcast.com, and while you're there, take a minute to leave us a comment or a voicemail. Got a story for the podcast? Email us at middleagededudes@gmail.com or message us on our Facebook page.